Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Network. We appear to be having some technical difficulty. We cannot hear Minister Tuggle, so we are going to have him call back in, and we will see if we can get this situated. In the meantime, hallelujah, we're just going to ask that you would sit back and you would enjoy this selection, hallelujah.
Welcome to the summit with Adam Tuggle. Praise
Amen.
God for being here today. Thank God for being here. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. But we are live right here. And it is another beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. And if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're listening to me, but because you are yet in the land of the living. And if you are hearing me right now, you're in the land of the living. So it's a reason to give God praise on today. I want to say, first thing first, I want to say God bless everybody. I'm hoping everybody's having a very, very blessed and safe Easter weekend. I know tomorrow is Easter. And, you know, it's a great, great day. Because And it's a great day, not just for, you know, because it's Easter, but because it was a great day for all mankind. Because over 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And he not only died, which I hear some preachers sometimes, they preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they leave him in the grave, and they forget to talk about his resurrection. So we thank God not only for his death, burial, and death and burial, but we thank God for his resurrection. Because if he had not done this, we would not have a right to the tree of life today. So we thank God for him seeing us as VIPs today. VIPs, very important people, to even just die for us. It was out of his mercy that he even died for us in Jesus' name. Today, this is what we're going to talk about today. But it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to do it a little bit different today because I want to tap into why the meaning of what his death meant. What his death meant. Now, we all know that we've all read the Bible verses of his death and his burial and his resurrection. We all know it. But I want to tap into why he did it. Why he did it. And why we shouldn't take his death, his death, burial, and resurrection lightly. Because there's a lot of people that take that lightly. Now, the first thing I want to say is that we must, as people, we must understand that the Lord is soon to come. Amen. We all know this. The Lord is soon to come. I was talking to my wife earlier today, and I told her, you know, it's just by the Lord's mercy that he has not come yet. It's not, there's nothing holding the coming of the Lord back except for his mercy. He's allowing us to get ourselves ready. And this is not just when you might hear me say, well, he's allowing the sinner man to get ready. Well, he's not just talking about the sinner man. He's allowing us, the saints of God, to get ourselves ready because we don't have it all together. Amen. A lot of us saints, a lot of us churchgoers, or a lot of us preachers and pastors and elders and deacons and ministers and stuff, some of us think we have it all together, and we really, really don't. We've been saved for years, and you still have not moved off the back pew yet. Amen? So we need to come to the realization that we have to get our lives together while the Lord is delaying his coming, but he's not going to delay his coming forever. Amen. God's going to move his hand one day, and he's going to come back. This is what he died for, so that we might have a right to the tree of life. Amen. So this is what we're going to talk about today. I want to tap into, first of all, I'm going to tap into a couple of things. Because I have a list of things too that we as people of God need to tap into and look at. There are a couple things that we need to look at when we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we talk about Easter, when we talk about the meaning of Easter. The meaning of Easter is not about the Easter bonnets and the Easter suits and the Easter bunny and the eggs and the, you know, all of that. It's not about that. What it is about is that a life for life. That's all it is. A life for life. So if I could title this topic today, it would be a life for life. A life for life. I heard somebody say on Facebook one day, somebody wrote in, it was actually on an Easter morning, they put on their Facebook page, his death certificate was our birth certificate. And it is, and that's so true especially the day and age that we live in, his death certificate, his death gave us life. He showed so much mercy and he had so much grace for us that he took our place, because the Bible says that we were born and shapen in iniquity. Iniquity in the spiritual means sin, period, point blank. And since we were born in sin, and I want to hit the core of this, and you hear me say it on the show a lot, but I want to hit the core of it today, because the reason why Jesus died. Now, I know when Jesus came onto the earth, he was performing miracles. We know the miracles. We've read them. He's healed blind eyes, and he fed multitudes, and he raised people from the dead, and he healed people, and he ministered to people, and he all of this. But that was the icing on the cake. The cake part of this is his death. This was all he came to do on top of what he did in his year, in his 33 years of life. He came that we might have life. Amen. His sole purpose was to die. Because the Bible clearly tells us, as we read, as I quoted the scripture, that we were born and shapen in sin, and sin separated us from Christ. And what brought on sin was the fact that Adam disobeyed God. Amen. We all know the story of the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. We know the story. Adam disobeyed the Lord's command of eating of the forbidden fruit, and he ate of it, and that brought sin into the bloodline of mankind. Now, I tease my mom a lot because I asked her, I said, "Well, why did you name me Adam?" And she said, "Well, that was the first man on the earth." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, Mama. Now, this man brought sin into the world, and you gonna name me Adam?" And she said, "Well, I didn't actually think about it like that." And my dad said, "Well, think about it like this, because at first I didn't like my name." And my dad said, "Well, think about it like this. Yes, Adam sinned, and yes, Adam brought sin into the world, but Jesus came and was the second Adam, and he came and gave us life." And I said, "Oh, okay, well, I'll keep the name Adam then, okay." So, but that's what he did. He came to erase the sin debt that needed to be paid. Now, you might say, "Well, how in the world is sin bringing on a debt to us?" Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Sin brought a wage that we as people could not pay, because we were born and shapen in sin. So we couldn't pay the sin debt. So that's why Jesus came, to pay the sin debt. And some people believe that, you know, they might say, "Well, you know, Jesus did this and Jesus did that," and you know, Jesus was holy. There was no sin in him when he came into the earth from a baby on to his 33 years of living, all 33 years of his life, he lived a life of holiness. Well, you might say, "Well, he's God. He, you know," but he lived that life so that he might be the example for us. Amen. And in that walk, and when God was walking on the face of the earth, in the flesh, he showed us what we have to do. He prayed. He worked. He did all these things to be an example for us, but his main purpose, like I said, was to die. If we look at, I'm going to go to a scripture. In Matthew 1 and 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, I'm going to say this. Jesus was born a Jew. He was born a Jew, and his people were the Jews. Amen. But the Bible says his own received him not, and that's when we were engrafted in. We were, and if you don't want to use the word engrafted, you can use the word adopted, because anybody that's not born a full blood Jew, you're considered as a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. We're all Gentiles if you're not full blood Jew. So once his own received him not, that gave us right to come to him. If we, as we look through the Bible, the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan woman. She even told Jesus, "Hey," and I'm paraphrasing, "the Samaritan, the Jews don't have no dealings with Samaritans. What are you doing talking to me?" She found it mind-boggling that Jesus was even talking to her, because in them times and in them days, Jews didn't have dealings with Samaritans. Amen? So, and she was engrafted in. Now, you might say, well, these people, from Genesis all the way till the day of Pentecost, how were they saved? How did they receive salvation? Because you might say, well, Minister Adam, you always talk about being baptized, repenting and being baptized in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And at that time, around that time, and this is all going into Easter, around that time, from the day of Pentecost up until now, every person must repent and must be baptized and must be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. But from Genesis up until the day of Pentecost, they were saved by their faith. They didn't have the Holy Ghost because either Jesus hadn't come yet, or Jesus hadn't died yet, or the Holy Ghost hadn't come yet, okay? So they were saved by faith, okay? After the day of Pentecost, everybody from the day of Pentecost up until now is supposed to repent and be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. They're supposed to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, as it states in Acts 2 and 38. Okay? Now, on top, this is why Jesus died. This is why he died, so that we might be saved. Because, as I said before, we were disconnected from God. Amen? We were disconnected. Now, I'm going to show y'all something. This is where it gets better, because this is where God showed his love. We all know the scripture, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That everlasting life, see, it said it in there, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish." If we believe that Jesus died for our sins, and we claim him as being Lord of all. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. And we act on what we believe, which is the act is what you believe you're going to act upon. And that act is repentance, being baptized in Jesus' name, and being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. He wants some action. You know, you can't, in the movies, you can't have a movie without actors. Amen? When that director says action, then those actors can, you know, play their parts. But until that director says action, they don't know, they can't do anything. Cameras aren't rolling. But when you believe in what you're reading and what you're being and what the minister is saying and what you're studying, you will act on what you believe. And this is where we get deep into the word, because there's a lot, and I mean there's a lot to look at. There's a lot to take in. When we look at the fact that at his death was brutal. He was beaten beyond recognition. He was sent to governor to governor. Pontius Pilate had to he was tried so bad, and he was lied on so bad that Pontius Pilate, he washed his hands of it. I find no cause of this blood of this just man. That's what Pontius Pilate said. And so he didn't want to know what he meant by that was, he said, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Hey, look, if something happens, I ain't got nothing to do with this. Don't say I did anything. Because he knew he was innocent. He knew Jesus was innocent. He even tried to bring a thief, Barabbas, before the people, and brought Jesus before the people, and said, who would you rather, I'm paraphrasing, who would you rather have, Jesus of Nazareth or Barabbas? And they chose Barabbas. He did this because he knew Jesus was innocent, and he was trying to convince the people. But it didn't work. But of it all, Jesus had a plan. There was a plan for salvation. That's why when they were mocking him, when he was put on the cross and they were mocking him, and they say, if you be Christ, come down from the cross. He could have called thousands and thousands of angels to smite everybody, but he stayed there on the cross for you and for me. He took the beatings. He took the cat of nine tails for you and for me. And you might say, well, what is the cat of nine tails? The cat of nine tails is it's a whip with long nine long straps on it, and it has a handle to it. And what it does is at the end of those nine straps, is they have hooks at the end of those nine straps. And what those do is that those hooks go into your skin, and they rip, and when they pull back with that handle, it rips the flesh out of the body. Jesus took that for you. He was beaten beyond recognition for you. He was beaten beyond recognition for me. This is why he was they mocked him. They pricked his beard. They spit on him. And I want you to think about this. This is why I'm hitting it deeply and getting to the core of this, because I want you to see what Jesus did for us. And I know we most of the time only talk about it on Easter, but I want you to see the very core of what Jesus did for us. And not to take it lightly, okay? Please don't take this lightly. Because if you take this lightly, we're going to be in trouble if we take the death of Christ lightly. Amen. I want to stop real quick and say if you have any questions, you can call in Jesus' name, and you can send in your questions. If you're online, you want to send in your questions, Bishop Cook will give me those questions, and I will try to answer those questions the best way I can in Jesus' name. Now, this is why we do not take the death of Christ lightly. And some people do. If you don't believe what I'm saying, I have a scripture to back up what I'm saying because I have to have scripture to back it up. Now, I said that he was beaten beyond recognition. Crown of thorns put on his head. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." And that's not just talking about a natural healing. That's talking about a spiritual healing as well. That's not just talking about the natural. That's talking about the spiritual too. We must not take God's death lightly. We must not take he took our place. And look, we as people, we as saints of God, we as people in general, we tend to take God's death lightly. When you do the things that you do, when we don't obey when the Lord says do this or do that, when the Lord gives us pure chance and opportunity to be saved, but you want one more night with the frogs, you take that death lightly. It is the actions of a man that God looks at. It is the actions of a man and a woman and a child that God looks at. And when you take his death lightly, this is why I say this. Because it says we're going to go to Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. And I'm going to show you. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37. And it reads, And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Verse 35, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Now, I'm going to read verse 36 and 37. Verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Verse 37, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" There is nothing you can give in exchange for your soul. There is no money. There's nothing at all that you can do. And I mean absolutely nothing. And when we talk about the death of Christ, you have to understand, when you give your life over to Christ, you're giving your mind, body, soul, and spirit. Everything belongs to Him. Everything that you do, every place that you go, it has to belong to Him. It has to honor Him. This is why it says, deny yourself. Deny. He said, let whosoever will come after me. That means you chasing after what God wants for you. The Bible says, one thing that I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Praise the Lord, everybody. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I know that the enemy is upset, but we're going to go ahead in Jesus' name. As I was saying before, we must understand that we have to hold up the statues and the call that God has put on our lives. Amen. And like I said, anybody that wants to follow after Him has to deny their self. You have to deny your desires, your wants, and sometimes your needs for the call of Christ. Amen? We have to deny ourselves. That's why the Bible tells us to deny ourselves. And that doesn't mean that we just forget all about ourselves and we don't fix ourselves up. And, you know, he's not talking about that. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have things in life. He wants you to have a education and a career and all that stuff, because the Bible does say, occupy until He comes. But those things should not take preeminence over the call of Christ over your life. Look, let me show y'all something. And the Lord gave me this. When your desires, the things that you want to do in life, I don't care what it is, if it's a career, if it's a school, whatever, it should line up to the calls of Christ. Amen. Because you are anything that you do should represent Christ. Any and everything that you do should represent Christ. Amen? The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or in what? Deed, do all in what? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means whatever you do, it should represent Christ. If you get it, look. If you're going into, I remember Jay Moss sang a song. He said, "If I were a writer, I would use my pencil. If I was a speaker, I would use my voice just to praise the name of Jesus. If I were a potter, I would use my hands." You have things in your life that would glorify God. Your career should glorify God. I don't care if you are a janitor. I don't care what you are. If you're a police officer, if you are a waiter, they should see Christ in you in whatever you're doing. Okay? This is the true meaning of what a life for a life is. He wants your life to represent Him. They should see Him first and then you second. They should see Him and me second. Amen? But let me break this down. There are so many, and I'm about to, some people about to be mad at me. I don't care. There are so many preachers and ministers and things that they take the call of God. And the Lord gave me this a couple weeks ago. They look at the work of Christ. They look at the work of Christ, but they don't see they look past the life of Christ. They want the work because they want to be seen. They want to be seen doing something. They want to be on the front line. They want to be up preaching. They want to be, look, let me tell you something. They want a title. I ain't into titles. I don't care if you call me brother, minister, whatever. I don't care about a title because it was the Lord that gave me the title in the first place. I didn't give myself that title. Amen. There are so many preachers that are so caught up in titles and caught up in melodious names and stuff and melodious words that they can't see the real cause of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, because they're so caught up in the title, in a title of a person, or they're so caught up in being a bishop or a pastor or the name of a bishop that they don't see the work. They see the work and they do the work, but they don't see the cause of it. They look past the cause. This gospel, there's a cause for this gospel. There's a cost too. Nothing in this world is free. Not even salvation. Now salvation is freely given, but there is a cost. There is a sacrifice. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. But there is a sacrifice in salvation. There is a sacrifice. Look, let me show y'all something. If Jesus sacrificed his life, who are we? Who are we not wanting to sacrifice anything? Who are you? Who is me? We got some people saying, well, why me, Lord? Why not you? Why not you? Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Must he bear the cross alone? There's a work for everybody to do. So why must he bear the cross by himself? The vineyard is the vineyard is got a lot of souls in it, but very few people want to work. Are they working just to look? There's a vineyard out there, and they have very few laborers. We have very few laborers out there in the vineyard, bringing in souls. But everybody wants to preach. Everybody wants to have a title, but you don't want to do the work. I heard somebody say, and I'm not one, and I don't choose, and I don't want to be one. But we got some pastors that are very, very lazy. They only worried about the money. They only worried about the title of a pastor. They only worried about, I've sat underneath two pastors, well, three pastors in my lifetime. My former pastor worked. My current pastors, they work. Just celebrated my first lady's birthday, and shout out to my first lady / co-pastor, Cosette Tuggle, also my mother. Happy birthday to you. Again, she celebrated her birthday on the 31st, on the 31st of March. So happy birthday. You're 60 years young in Jesus' name. But faithful worker. My dad, faithful worker. My former pastor, Bull, faithful worker in the kingdom. We need faithful workers. And they want, and you know what? This is why Jesus died. Because there are some people that have never heard this gospel. And I believe, and I was telling my wife this morning, you know, God is holding back his coming so we can get ready. Amen. God is holding back his coming so we can get ready. So every man, woman, boy, and girl can have an opportunity. But and he's also holding back his coming because the word has not reached everybody yet. I believe that too. I was talking to a gentleman on last week or the week before last, and this gentleman, I was witnessing to him, and he was like, I've never heard of the Holy Ghost. That was the first time he ever heard of it. He thought he was just supposed to, you know, just supposed to be a good person, and he'll make it to heaven. I said, look, you must be born again. You must be born again of the water and the spirit. You look, everybody from, like I said, the day of Pentecost on up until now, you must be born again of the water and the spirit. And even if you look at it, even the ones in the Old Testament saints and the people that were in the Bible that lived up until the day of Pentecost, they were baptized because John baptized some of them, and they were baptized by faith. They were baptized underneath John's baptism. Amen. And he said that there's one that come after me that will baptize you with fire. Amen. So not only, and you know what? There are some that do not believe in baptism anymore. And let me tell you something. Those that don't believe, you better get it right. Because who are you to say that baptism is not acceptable anymore? And Jesus was baptized. Oh, that was in the Old Testament. Jesus was baptized. And that was in the New Testament. So, if Jesus was baptized, and he's holy, so who are we not to be baptized? Come on now. Give me something. Look, if y'all want to talk about it, y'all can call in and we can talk about this thing. But let me tell you something. This is a powerful, powerful thing when you have God manifested in the flesh. And look, let's go just to prove, because the Lord just laid this on my heart, just to prove to people, and I've talked about it before, there are people that believe that when you go to heaven, you're going to see three or two. No, you're only going to see one. Watch this. I want you to go to John chapter 1, verse 1, verse number 1, and verse number 2. And we're going to drop down to verse 14. Watch this. This is for the people that believe that you're going to see three, that you're going to see two when you go to heaven. It's not so. There's only one. Watch this. I'm going to read it in your hearing. If you got your Bibles, your Bible apps or whatever, you can read along with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Okay? Now, let's drop down to verse 14. And the Word, look, watch this. And the Word
was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this shows you right here that Jesus is God, because it just said it in verse 14. It just showed us in verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We got it. That was Jesus. That's Jesus. Amen. So Jesus, God, look, let me show y'all something. God is a spirit. And a spirit, there's two things a spirit can't do. A spirit can't die, and a spirit can't, well, God's spirit, now I'm not going to say the second one. God's spirit can't do two things. It can't die, and it can't feel pain, because he's holy. Amen? And since the Spirit of God cannot feel pain nor die, he had to wrap himself in human flesh. He had to put his spirit in a body, put that body in the womb of a virgin, as we read in Matthew 1 and 21, that then Mary conceived that body, and that body was named Jesus. So he put himself in that body, and that body walked around for 33 years. And the last 3 years of his life, he did 3 years of ministry. But his moral sole purpose was to die. Not only to die, but to be buried, to go down into hell and take the keys of hell and death from Satan, and to rise on the third day with all power given unto him, so that he might send his spirit back, which was the Holy Ghost, so that we may no longer be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. I hear some people say, well, now, I agree to an extent. Some people say, well, I was born this way. I was born like this. Well, you know what? I somewhat agree with you. Now, I don't believe in the various acts, because you might say, well, you're talking about homosexuals and gay. I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about anybody that says it. I'm talking to who I'm talking to today. So don't think I'm just hitting one group of people, because I'm not. I'm hitting everybody that says it. I was born this way. I think I was born to be an adulterer. I think I was born to be a murderer. I think I was born to be a liar. I think I was born to be this or that. No. You were born and shaped in sin. That I can tell you. The thing about mankind was that when we were created, there was no sin in mankind. But because God gave mankind a choice to either, God gave us choices, and it was our thinking that got us in trouble. So you got to look at the moral. You got to look at the moral compass of things. It was our thinking, it was our choice making that got us in trouble. It was the wrong choice. And it happens today. It happens today. That's why I said there is no perfect person. There is no perfect saint. There is no perfect pastor. Because our choices can sometimes mess us up. But when we make those wrong choices, it's our job to set it right. It's our job to And look, let me show y'all something. Because there's some people that says I made a mistake, and which is all right. You're going to make mistakes in life. That's how you grow in life. That's how you grow. When you make a mistake, you learn from that mistake. And you don't follow the same pattern to go into that mistake again. So once you don't follow that same pattern again to fall into it again, then it is a mistake. Mistakes are meant to be made for a person to learn from them. That's why Jesus came. Man made a mistake by doing what man did, which Adam. Because I'm not just blaming Adam either. Because Eve had a choice to either listen. She listened to, at the time, it was a serpent. She chose to listen to an animal than to listen to the voice of God. Amen? Because all the blame doesn't go on Adam. I mean, most of the blame goes on Adam because he was the first created. But he you can't put all the blame on Adam. You can't put all the blame on Eve either. Adam blamed Eve. It was the woman that you gave me the reason why I did. No. And that's what people do today. When they make a mistake, look, let me show y'all something. God died for our mistakes. This is why God died. He died for our mistakes. He died that we don't have to make mistakes. Now, he knows that we are. That's why we have repentance. He knows that we're still in human form. We ain't made it to glory yet. So he knows there's some things that we do or some things that we might think we might make a mistake. But we have to learn from those mistakes. And that's where the Holy Ghost will come in and teach us how to do things. The Holy Ghost will warn us. And let me tell you, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, that ain't giving you the right to make mistakes neither, because you got a conscience. You got a conscience. So you can't use the excuse of, oh, well, I ain't got the Holy Ghost, so I can make all the mistakes I want to. No. No, you still have a conscience. Now, if your conscience is seared, there's something wrong. Uh-oh. If your conscience is seared, something is wrong. And if your conscience is seared and you got the Holy Ghost, there's something very wrong with you, and you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself if your conscience is seared in the first place. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, something is wrong. But if you call yourself got the Holy Ghost and your conscience is seared and you think you just think it wrong, you might want to check yourself, because you done moved up into a reprobated mind then. If the Holy Ghost can't convict you, if you feel no conviction and you ain't got your conscience seared and your conscience can't tell you what's wrong and what's right and the Holy Ghost can't convict, there's something wrong. You might want to check that out. Might want to check that out, because that's bad. That's dangerous. That's to the point of no return. That when a person becomes a reprobate, that means only God can save you. There ain't no prayer going to say prayers. People could pray all day, but if God don't want to deliver you, not saying that he can't and not saying that he won't, but yeah, when you've been turned over to a reprobated mind, there's a problem. That's a problem. You might want to check yourself, because from a reprobated mind, there's no hope for a reprobate, because they're seared. They don't seal their fate. But I'm gonna move off that. But we must understand that Easter happened and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ happened for a reason. It was done. He died for us for a reason. He died for you. He died for me. He made sure, and when I say he made sure, that we have no excuse. He took all excuses to the cross. Every single excuse you can think of, he took it to the cross. He took every single excuse to the cross. You have no excuse. At the end, you'll have no excuse. I will have no excuse. Nobody will have an excuse. Nobody will have an excuse on why. If you don't make it, look, I said it before and I'll say it again. We all have one shot. We got one shot at making it. One. And I said this before too. You can have three and four and five cars. You can have two and three homes. You can have condos. You can have all the clothes you want, all the billions and millions and hundreds and whatever amounts of dollars you want. But you only got one life. You got one life. And you got a soul. You got one soul. And all this stuff in the world that is going on. Now, I'm not here to say who's going to heaven or who's going to hell. I'm not here to say that because I have no heaven or no hell to put anybody in. But I love you enough. The love of God is on the inside of me to tell somebody today that he died just for you. And if you were the only person on the face of the earth, he would have done it just for you. He would have done it just for you. Why? Why would he do it just for me? Why? Because you are VIP. Mm-hmm. You know that? You and me, we're VIPs to the mind of Christ. Very important people that he would die just for you. He called you his child. And look, as a father, and I'm not, now I know mothers, y'all do y'all thing as mothers. But the father, and you know what, I don't mean to pry here, but as a father, I love my children. I love my children. I love them to life. There are some things that I will do for my boys. Like my wife tells me all the time, I spoil them. I try not to spoil my boys. But in the spoiling, I teach them. I give them things. I give them things that they need. If they need me, I'm there. I try to be there for them all the time, from the oldest to the youngest. I try to be there. I try to make every event. I try to do, because that's the love of a father. That's the love of a father. And you know what? Jesus' love for you and me is better than any love that you could ever have. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved. He sent that so love into the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave himself. He said, Adam, you ain't got to go to the cross. I'll go to the cross for you. Sarah, you ain't got to go to the cross. I'll go to the cross for you. Bishop Cook, you ain't got to go to the cross. I'll go to the cross for you. He loved us that much. That's so love. He was beaten with the cat of nine tails because he loved you. What? Just think about it. This is what Easter is about. This is what he said, a life for a life. A life for a life today. His death certificate became your birth certificate. It's just like a father. Look, I will lay down. I told my wife, there are six people that I would immediately lay down my life for on this earth. There are six people that I would immediately lay my life on the line for, and that is my wife, my children, my mother, and my father. That's it. But now would I go out to help somebody if they're in need? Yes, I would. But he even laid down his life. He loved us so much that he even laid down his life for his enemies. And who can say that they would lay down their life for their enemy? Who would say that they would lay down their life for their enemy and be truthful about it? He laid down his life for people that spit on him, for people that beat on him, for people that called him out his name, who mocked him. That's that soul love. Jesus so loved us that he laid down his life. He laid down his life. No man took his life. He laid it down. They didn't take nothing. They thought that they did. They thought that they took Jesus' life. They thought that they ended Jesus. Jesus didn't end it. Jesus wasn't ended. Yeah, right. He laid down his life for you and for me. The person that thinks, let me speak to the person that thinks that they've done. Let me speak to the person that thinks that they've done so much that the Lord won't welcome them. Look, let me tell you something. He laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for you. For the person that's been in Christ but stepped away from Christ but wants to return but thinks that they've done so much that they can't return back. He laid down his life for you. He said he's married to the backslider. Come on here. He has that soul love for you. Maybe you're a person that's never known about salvation, that's never known about God. He laid down his life for you too. I'm talking straight to you. Maybe you're that morally good person that says, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do that. He still laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for you to come out of sin. You were born and shapen in iniquity. He wants you to be born. I'm gonna go to that scripture. Let me find that scripture. Oh man, let's just, I love this. I love it. Let me go to this scripture. John chapter 3. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, right quick. This is for the morally good individual. And this is why he died. This is why he died. You might be morally good, but morally good is not good enough. You might be a person that gives of their time and their efforts and their money to people, and you're always giving, and you're always doing this, and you're always there for people. That's great. I commend you. But God wants more from you. God has more for you. God has more for you. God has more for you, man. God has more for you, young lady. Young man, God has more for you. Let me read these verses real quick in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Now, what this is saying is, well, let me finish it up, and then I'll explain it. And I was on verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to throw verse 6 in the pot right now. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit of the Spirit is spirit. Now, what these verses are saying to us is this. God is telling us, the Lord is telling us, except the man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Now, what that is saying is that you've had your natural birth. You were born in sin. You are shaping in iniquity. You've had your first birth. You got to be born again in the spiritual now. You got to be born again. Amen? And Nicodemus, this verse number 4, Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus was saying. He was saying, he was saying, well, how can a man be born again when he's a grown man, when he's a grown woman? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? He thought he was talking about a natural birth. Jesus then replied to him and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Which this means is you have to repent, go down in the name of Jesus Christ in the water, and come up in the newness of life, speaking in tongues, the Spirit of God gives the utterance, and be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me break this down. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the repentance is symbolic of your spiritual death. Mm-hmm. Lord told me to go here to break it down. When he died, you cannot physically go to a cross and die, okay? So what do? We repent. Repentance is being godly sorry for every sin you've ever committed. That is your spiritual death. You're telling God, hey, my old man, my old sinful nature, is dead, okay? The death and the burial of Christ, when he went into the tomb, when Jesus died, he came off, they took him off the cross and they put him in a tomb. They had to lay the body somewhere, just like we've all been to funerals. We've all been to funerals. And at a funeral, you can't just have the body just laid up in church all day. The body has to go where? Into the ground, okay? That's the same thing with the spiritual. When you die spiritually, when you've repented, you're spiritually saying, hey, I want my old man to die. That old man needs to be buried. That water baptism is symbolic of your burial. You're going down in the water. But you're going down in Jesus' name. You're going down in his name. Amen? And the resurrection is when you come up speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. You come up in your new, you come up as a new creature. The new man, the godly man, the godly woman, that is what it is. That's why he said to be born of the water and the Spirit, to be born of the Spirit. You're now a new creature. Oh, the Bible says old things have passed away. Behold it, all things become what? New. You're now new. Amen? The old man is dead. That means your thoughts and your desires and your gestures and where you go, all of that stuff dies. And you now live into holiness. That's what that means. Amen. You can't see God. You can't see the kingdom of heaven without that. I'm going to use this analogy too. When you have a baby being born, in that 9 months of that woman's pregnancy, the baby needs two things. Why in the middle of that pregnancy? There's two things that baby is surrounded by in that mother's womb. It's surrounded by blood, and it's surrounded by water. So you need blood and water in the natural for a natural birth. You also need blood and water in the spiritual birth too. That is where the blood of Jesus and the burial, your spiritual birth, your spiritual burial, which is the water baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. You need it to live. You need the blood and you need the water to live in natural. You need blood and water to live in the spiritual too. He talked about water. He said that he'll give you water that you might never thirst again. The Bible says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Filled. He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. He offered the woman at the well the water. And this is not, he wasn't talking about the water that was in the well. He was talking about water that she might never thirst again. The spiritual water. You might say, well, you talking about water that's prayed over? No. I'm talking about water springing up. Water springing up, spiritual water. I'm talking about the Word of God, the attributes of God. He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And this is what he died for. This is what he laid down his life for. This is what he did for us. And like I said, if you were the only person on the face of the earth, he would have done it just for you. Just for you. Amen. He would have done it just for you. I'm going to give you a one more scripture, I believe. There is, because there's a lot that we could talk about. There's a lot in this that we could talk about, but we're running short on time. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, for Christ also has once suffered for sin. This means he died for sin. He suffered for sins. The just for the unjust. There you go. The just for the unjust. That means a life for life. Woo! A life for life, y'all. That he might bring us to God. See, that just brings up what we just read before. You cannot see the kingdom of God without having his spirit. Amen? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the spirit. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Him being put to death. He told you and I to step out of the way, and I'll take the fall for you. I'll go to the cross for you. He paid the sin debt because we couldn't pay it. We couldn't pay the sin that we caused at the beginning. And I'm not, and I'm, now, I say this a lot. When we were born, we were all born baby sinners. A cute little, adorable baby sinner. You were cute. You were cute. You were adorable. You cute little baby, cute little girl, cute little man, cute, you know, cute little guy. But you were a sinner. And you did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong to become a sinner. Only thing you had to do was be born. And God is not holding that against you. Because if he did, if God was holding that against us for being cute little baby sinners, then guess what? He wouldn't have died if he was holding it against us. He knew that the bloodline was tainted with sin, and he knew that something had to be done because he wanted man with him because we were created in his image. He created man for a purpose. But that, like I said, that whole decision-making got us in trouble. That mistake, making the wrong decisions. We make decisions every day in life. But we have to make sure. That's why it's good to stay in prayer. That's why it's good to stay in fasting. That's why it's good for us to continue in the Word, stay in the Word of God, so that you might see that you might receive insight on what to do. Amen? So that you might receive insight on what to do. I pray that this has blessed you on today. Like I said, I'm sorry for the technical difficulties that happened. The Satan does not want this to go out, y'all, especially on Easter, because it's talking about the resurrection. He is upset. He is upset. Do you know that, and I'm going to say this last little bit, do you know that Satan was upset when he thought he had God? He thought he beat him when he was in the grave. He thought he beat him. He thought he beat him. But death, where is thy sting? The Bible says, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? He took the fall for us. He went to the cross for us, and Satan thought, hey, I got him. Now mankind can't be saved. He's dead. He's gone. He's out of here. But he saw, and I'm just imagining this, he saw Jesus coming. When he went down to hell and took the keys of hell and death, he saw Jesus coming. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Hold up. Hold up. Wait a minute. That's Jesus. And on that third day, after taking the keys of hell and death from Satan, he then rose again on that third day, and all power was given unto him so that we might be, that we might have right to the tree of life. Today could be your day. Today could be your day to receive his, to receive salvation. Today could be the day. Today you can receive salvation. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It is a part, if you believe, I've already said it, belief is an action word. So once you believe in what you've heard, Once you believe in what you've read, once you believe in what you've studied, then you have to act on it. Because belief is an action word. You must repent. You must go down in the name of Jesus Christ. And you must be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Why not today? Why not today? Don't wait. There's a song by the Winans that says, tomorrow. I'll give my life tomorrow. I thought about today, but it was so much easier to say tomorrow. There's another part in that song that says, but what if tomorrow never comes? Hell is enlarging itself daily. And I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to say this statement, and I'm going to ask this question, and then we're going to get out of here. There are a lot of great basketball players. There are a lot of great NFL players. There are a lot of great sports figures. But very few of them go into the Hall of Fame. You might say, well, what are you saying that for? That's the same thing with heaven. There are a lot of great pastors. There are a lot of great speakers. There are a lot of great bishops. There are a lot of great saints. But narrow is the way. There is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Which way will you go? Just like Adam made the decision to not honor what God said, you have a decision today. I have a decision today to make sure that my calling and election is sure and it's right, so that God's death won't be in vain. Will God's death be in vain in your life? Will God's death be in vain in your life? The only way it will be in vain is if you do not come unto this great salvation, which he died for you to come into. You have to make that decision. I have to make that decision. Nobody else can make it for us. Because once we stand before God in judgment, you won't have an excuse, I won't have an excuse, and we have to answer to God for everything we've done on this earth. Good, bad, or indifferent, how we treated people, how we lived our life, and there will be no excuses. I pray that this topic has blessed you on today. Continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. I want to, right now, before we leave, I want to pray for Bishop Cook. The Lord is leading me to do so.
Bless you,
I don't know what I have not talked to, and I'm going to say this on the air now. I have not talked to Bishop Cook. I have not said anything to her. She has not said anything to me. I'm just led to pray because I can feel people.
Bless you.
Just because we live in different states don't mean that the Spirit of God can't allow a person to feel somebody.
Hallelujah. Say that.
So we're going to pray right now before we leave off there, and this is the way we're going to leave, in Jesus' name. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord God, asking you. We thank you for this show that we have done on today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your love. We thank you for dying for us one day. We thank you for being that sacrifice for our life, that you wanted a life for a life. You gave your life to give us a better life.
Yes, Jesus, thank you.
Lord God, and we come to you right now asking you to touch Bishop Cook right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Whatever she's doing through, we don't know, but you know. We're asking you to touch the feelings of her infirmities right now. We're asking you to heal what needs to be healed. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord God, we're asking you to even go throughout her home right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Touched, of God.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Strength in the body. In the name of Jesus. I speak to the tiredness. I command
you
to cease.
Bless your holy name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Right now that she is healed.
Thank you, Lord.
From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. We pray for the listeners on today.
Lord, I thank you. We thank you in
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Good God, we come to you and we bless you and we praise you and we thank you in advance. And we give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys, and we thank you.
Yes, hallelujah.
To be safe in this pandemic. And let me tell y'all something. Just because it's Easter, don't mean that y'all go wild out there, okay, y'all? Still be safe. Still wear your mask. Still wear your hand sanitizer. Still do what the CDC says, amen? Because we still got to be compliant with the CDC, amen, with the government system. But God bless you. I love you. And if y'all don't hear my voice again, I'm going to say it like my grandmother used to say. I will see you in the rapture. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to make it to heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Amen. Glory to God.